The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
I plan out the sermons that I'm going to do, and many times that's the ones we do, but there are times when God says, I want you to do something else. So last night at midnight, God says, I want you to preach something else today. So at 2 o'clock this morning, I finished my sermon for this morning. So your bulletins have nothing to do with the sermon. There's no slides except for the one you're seeing now. But considering where we're at in the world today and what's going on in this, in our country and where we are at in this whole situation, I felt it was important that God wanted me to share with you some thoughts from Him on where we're at. So here we go. Death. Sorrow, pain, and tragedy. Some of us might call those four things the four horsemen of the apocalypse. But one thing we can be certain of is that all of us will experience them at some time in our lives. And I have the feeling that we're going to experience them soon. Now these four words have made grown men cry and had made nations fall to their knees in prayer. Every day, thousands of people face tragedy in their lives. Death and sorrow and pain. I mean, those we love die. We're at the doctor and we get a prognosis that we don't really want to hear. Marriages die on the vine. We get a notice from our work that they're laying us off. And all of our dreams and our plans are gone in a heartbeat. And while all these sorrows and all these troubles are in life sometimes seem impossible for us to carry, none of us are ever prepared for a tragedy that actually changes our way of life. And actually changes the course of human history. Now some of us here, most of us here are old enough to remember September 11th, 2001. And most of us are living with the changes that it made to our life, in all of our lives. That in a tragic and violent moment, everything changed because of one day. We find ourselves at a precipice today. Many churches are closed today because either they have more than 250 people or they are afraid that they're going to spread the virus that is going around. And I know we're all talking about the virus all the time. I'm tired of talking about the virus, but it's something we have to think about. And believe me, we as elders, we have been conversating back and forth. We do have a plan in place for what happens, but we're not going to act until it needs to be acted on. Hence why we are open today, because I felt this message was needed. I am not saying that we're going to have church next Sunday, because I don't know. Each day will bring new information. So please, we'll let you know as things progress. But we remember 9/11, remember those things that happened, and we shouldn't be surprised by the current tragedy and the current crisis that we're going to be seeing. I mean, it's not like yesterday we just found out about it. We've known about it for a while. In fact, if you knew anything about viruses, you know that the coronaviruses have been around for a long time. It just is. We should not be surprised. But what we don't know is we don't know the severity of what we're going to face. And that is the trouble. That is the problem. That is the fear. That's what causes fear. We don't know the full extent. But we cannot be foolish enough to think that it won't affect us. In the book of Job, it says in Job 5, 6 through 7, for affliction does not come from dust, nor does trouble spout from the ground, but man is born to trouble as sparks fly upward. Let me say it again. Man is born to trouble as sparks fly upwards. The truth is, tragedy visits every generation. But the question is, how do we deal with it? But even more importantly is, how do we as Christians, how do we respond to it? And I'm not just thinking about the individual tragedies in our lives. I'm thinking about our tragedies in our communities, both near and far. Well, we can go to Scripture. Romans 12:15 tells us, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And that seems like a very simplistic answer. But the question always comes up is there a purpose in the tragedy, in the crisis that we face today? Does God have a purpose? Where is God in this? And as always, whatever our response is to whatever tragedy must be tempered and must be based upon how Jesus answered it in his own day. How did he answer tragedies? And there are two events that occurred in Scripture that are talked about. Happened sometime after about 32 AD. And Jesus answers these tragedies. One of them was that a tower collapsed in Jerusalem and 18 people were killed. Another one happened in the temple court itself and Pilate killed a bunch of worshipers that were in the temple. See, Jesus had been teaching thousands of people. And he had been teaching them the difference between right and wrong. And how do we live right and not do the wrong thing? And how do we do it without hypocrisy? And this group of people comes up to him. And they tell him and they ask him about this tragedy that's going on in Jerusalem. And we see it in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. It says, and there were some present in that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So these people were in to do the sacrifice. Pilate went in and killed them and mingled their blood with that sacrifice. And this is how Jesus answered them. He said, do you think that the Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will likewise perish. See, these people wanted to know how Jesus was going to respond to a current event. They wanted to know, like many people will in the days ahead, where's God in this? Where's God in this? How does he fit into this, everything that's happening? And Jesus didn't dodge the question. Unlike some of our leaders in our political realm will try to dodge a question so they don't have to answer it or they'll deflect it on something else. He didn't do that. What he did do is he pulled the answer from the tragedy itself. And then he also pulled it from another tragedy that happened before that. And this is what he said in verse 4. He says, now, we see that. You see that, you know, these Galileans have suffered. But they were no worse believers. They were no more evil than you are. Because you don't repent, you're going to die likewise. He says, or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? See, Siloam was a very well-known area in Jerusalem. Very prosperous part of the city. And the tower was being built and probably part of the wall system that was protecting it. And it is also rumored that because of Pilate, because of some of his dealings and the way he was, he was the cause of this tower falling. It wasn't built right. And 18 people died. Now, we don't know how many people lived in Jerusalem. I'm a numbers guy. Believe me, I've been crunching the numbers on this virus. It's interesting for me. I don't share it with too many people because they're not nerdy like I am. But I've been crunching numbers. But you look at 18 people. Let's say we don't know how many people lived in Jerusalem of that day. Maybe 100,000 if it was. Doesn't seem like it's very much, not a big deal, but it is a big deal. It is a big deal. They still had an impact. And Jesus, in his answer, he's more interested in giving life and hope than pointing the finger at somebody or blaming the innocent victims. See, boldly, Jesus pulls from current events. And what he does is he's establishing the kingdom of God in the midst of the collapsing kingdom of man. We need that today. He didn't take advantage of the situation. He didn't take advantage of the tragedy to level blame or to increase his following. He drew from those events. He brings direction. He brings comfort. He brings hope. And he brought healing in a time of need. And see, you and I, we must do the same. We have to do the same. Even in the midst of our own tragedy, even though the tragedy will touch our lives and touch our families, we too must bring comfort and hope to this kingdom that's here. A crisis, whether it's presumed or real, has an amazing effect on the clarity of human discernment. I think this is why you're seeing empty shelves where there used to be toilet paper and where there used to be hand sanitizer, because people are not being discerning. I have to share this story because I think it's justice and it's ironic. There were two gentlemen from Kentucky, and it's not a joke, but could be. These two guys from Kentucky, when the virus broke out in China, they started going to all the Dollar Generals that were all the little towns, started buying up all of the hand sanitizer, and decided that when it really started breaking out here, they'd start selling it on eBay and Amazon. And they got upwards of $80 a bottle for it. Until Amazon found out and shut them down. Now, they showed a picture in this article of this guy's garage filled with hand sanitizer that he can't sell anywhere. Guess what he's going to do with it? He's going to have to give it away. So we don't think when a tragedy happens, we start to not think straight. We start getting fearful. We start taking advantage of things. We start thinking of what can we do out of this? What's happened? President Trump asked, do not make this political. And that's exactly what everybody's doing. We need to come together. Yes, we do. We need to gather together and help each other. Not be afraid of each other. Crisis reminds us that we, as individuals and as a society, that we are only one tragedy away from a paralyzing weakness. See, our society today, our modern society, has made us comfortable. It's lulled us into a false sense of security. And we are vulnerable. See, we shouldn't be. Scripture has told us this. It says in 1 Peter 1:24, all flesh like grass and all its glory like the flower of grass. But the grass withers and the flower fails. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. It is amazing to think that a virus that we can't even see can take us out. But it can. We are frail. We are like grass. Tragedy forces us to realize that there are warning signs that happen along the way. God has placed things along the way to warn us. But a lot of times we choose to ignore them. It's like the person who suffers from a major heart attack. And they've had problems. They've got high blood pressure. I mean, it was one of the things that got me to start losing weight was my liver was going bad. And I knew it. Doctor kept telling me, your blood pressure is high, your triglycerides are high, you got a problem, you better do something about it. And I just didn't do it until I found out I had a fatty liver, which leads to cirrhosis. The warning signs were there. I ignored them. We brush them off. I want to share with you a story from the Old Testament of a king who knew the warning signs and completely ignored them. It's a king called Uzziah. It's in 2 Chronicles 26. It says, in Jerusalem, this is talking about some of the amazing things that Uzziah did. He says, in Jerusalem, he made machines that were invented by skillful men to be on the towers and corners and to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marveled. And he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Innocent thing. Not a big deal, right? But he came in and he burned incense where he should not. This mighty king who was honored by men from all around. He was a good king. He had been a very, very faithful king. He decided that the warning signs, protocols for worship of Yahweh didn't apply to him. His heart led him on his own destruction. His strength led him to arrogance. See, many times we as humans, we run into a crisis and we mistakenly think of our resources instead of the source of those resources. There's this principle, I believe, that applies to nations and churches and families, and it applies to us as individuals, and it's from 2 Chronicles 26:5. It says, he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And it says, as long as he sought God, God made him prosper. See, ultimately, Uzziah's destiny was decided in a moment of arrogance. He approached God with arrogance and acted upon his own strength, which had no connection to God, the true source. He knew what he was doing was forbidden. He knew he wasn't supposed to do that. Just as we know we're not supposed to lick doorknobs, right? Well, come on. We know that. But see what he did? He carried his unforgiven sin into the holy presence of God. And Uzziah thought that his own strength, his own abilities were greater, and he was omnipotent. But it takes the blood of the Lamb and a priestly bloodline to be able to do this. To go beyond the veil into the presence of God. See, from that time of foolishness in Uzziah's life to the time that he died, he had leprosy. Immediately. He had leprosy and died later on from it. He lost his kingdom. What a terrible end to a great beginning. And as we sit and stand and we look at the landscape that's ahead of us over the next few weeks in our lives and our community and our nation, we need to seek the Lord. We must learn not to rely on our own strength. That's what crisis will do to you. It will teach you, don't rely on yourself. There's a value in positive self-esteem. There's a value in self-reliance. But when we do it, when we rely too much on that, we run the risk of moving God's throne out of the way and putting our throne in his place. So I'm calling on you today. I'm going to ask today, tonight, between the hours of between 6:30 and 7, that as individuals and as families that you draw together, draw your family together between 6:30 and 7. And I'm asking you that you seek the face of God. That you seek him on behalf of our nation, on behalf of our leaders, on behalf of the medical workers who are at the forefront of fighting this disease and taking care of those. And I ask you to pray and seek God's face for those who have the disease and who will have the disease in the days to come as they fight it. From 5:30 to 6 tonight, please. I'm sorry, 6:30 to 7 tonight. Please. Spend some time in prayer. Seek God's face. During our walk through this tragedy, I mean, Many of us will realize that there are areas in our lives where we don't exactly listen to the warning signs. Keep off the grass, stay on the path, right? In our current situations, there are warning signs. Wash your hands, right? Sneeze into your arm. Don't lick any doorknobs. We have warning signs all around us. If you're sick, stay home. If you have issues that are a danger to you, stay home. But even more important is that we need to understand that as careful as we can be, it doesn't guarantee that we won't be touched by this tragedy, by this virus, or any future virus. This is just one of many that are going to come. Because each of us carries a virus in us. That virus is sin. The beauty of it is that even though we don't have a vaccine for COVID-19 yet, and it's going to be 18 to 20 months before we even think about it, we do have a vaccine for the virus of sin, and that's Jesus Christ. Get inoculated, man. Accept him. Don't wait until tragedy strikes to believe and trust in Jesus. Remove the virus now. Because see, unlike Uzziah, you and I, we can enter into the presence of God because of Jesus Christ. Because we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We have a new name, a new bloodline, a new family name. And he is our high priest. So seek him out tonight. I want to also share with you a tale of another king. In fact, this is a tale of two kings. We have King Uzziah and we have King David. And King Uzziah and King David had two radically different approaches to the presence of God. When Uzziah came in arrogance into God's presence, David came in humility and in total dependence on God. David actually sat next to the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Nobody was able to do that except for the high priest. That was only once a year. And yet David was able to because he came humbly. We can still see those two approaches in our world today and how they affect us. See, there was a certain protocol in the Old Testament, the old Levitical system, on how you had to come to this high level of intimacy with God and to see him high and lifted up. The priest had to go through this rigorous process of ritual cleansing. Not to make them holy, but so that they would not ruin the holy place. So they would not desecrate the tabernacle or the temple. It wasn't about them. But today we want to shortcut our encounters with God. We want to shortcut how we encounter God. And but Jesus says, I came to give you an eternal relationship. Don't shortcut it. But people want, and they still want today, a right now deliverer. Those people who asked Jesus that question, they wanted to give us an answer about this. They wanted Jesus to provide food, you know. Bread and fish for us. That's why the people went around the whole lake in order to catch up with Jesus. They wanted another miracle that they could talk about in the market. But when tragedy strikes, we have a tendency to look for that quick Bible answer. And many times we'll go and we really like the verse that says, you know, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. And we take that and we're like, oh, doesn't that make you feel good? But we missed the key to it, and that was the part before. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Don't miss the first part. Humbly Seek His face in the midst of tragedy. God has always gone to great lengths to place people who were courageous, men and women who were courageous signposts and warning signs. To every generation we have Noah, Moses, Nathan, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King Jr. And I truly believe that God will raise up some of us here to be those signposts for people. If nothing else for our family, I'm constantly telling my kids, wash your hands. This was even before this all happened. It's flu season. Wash your hands. We need to be a lighthouse in the coming storm. We need to be able to steer people away from the rocks of pride and prejudice and presumption. We're not going to lay blame. Is that what we're trying to do? We're not going to blame government. We're not going to blame the medical field. We're not going to blame God. Because what would Jesus do in our situation? Well, we know what He did. He when Lazarus died, what did He do? He went to the tomb and He wept. Now, you and I may not be able to speak words of resurrection like Jesus did. But I can tell you right now, you and I can weep with someone with the same passion that Jesus had. See, we need to do whatever we can as mere humans and allow God to do what only He can do as a holy and righteous God. When we're at a loss of what to do, when somebody is hurting around you, remember, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Every generation has its landmark tragedy and a date that will live in infamy. This may be ours. And if that's the case, in every home and each one of us may be tested within this crucible, this bowl that's this crisis that we now face. Each of us may, our families may be touched by this crisis. I don't know. We'll be tested. You can be certain of one thing, is that America will never be the same when this is over. We won't. We can become stronger. We can become more united. We can become more cohesive for a time. We can become more aware of the frailty of life. Or we can become more selfish, more prideful, more arrogant, more divided. The choice is ours. We have that choice. This crisis will either tear us apart or it will glue us together. And understand, we really have no control over this tragedy. But we do have control over how we react to it. And we can react with fear and stress, apprehension. Or we can respond with calmness, faith, trust, help, faithfulness, honor, love, compassion. The choice is ours. We can't control the tragedy, but we can control the trust factor. Who do we trust? I trust God. Choose for yourself today who you will trust. As for me and my house, we will trust the Lord. Choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If I get called upon to go to somebody's house who's sick, I'm going. The way it is. So what are our weapons? How can we respond? Understand that the right words spoken at the right time, that the right prayer prayed at that perfect moment, the right song sung at a worship service, the right balm applied at the point of pain. These are the weapons we have. The simple weapon of worship in the hands of a compassionate and loving person can cause the walls of Jericho to collapse. Isaiah experienced God high and lifted up when he went to the temple to worship, and his life was never the same again. Yes, 5,833 people have lost their lives to COVID-19 in the world so far. Like I said, I'm tracking it. I update it every day to know what's going on. So far, 59 people in the United States have died from it. And you get those who will poo-poo that and say it's no big deal. It is a big deal for the families of those 59 people. Every life lost. See, now, they're estimating that it's possible that 110 million of us could get it. That's a third of the population. That's what the CDC is saying, that a third of the population could get it. And at a current rate, morbidity rate of 2%, that means it's possible that 2 million people could die. But see, it doesn't matter. Those are just numbers. It doesn't matter if the numbers flatten out and we got a couple hundred people that died, that end up dying from this. That is still a tragedy. Yes, only 18 people died in a city of close to 100,000, but it was still a tragedy. It is still, we mourn those tragic deaths, no matter how many they are. And as this crisis grips our nation, our community, our families, and we, as the body of Christ, we have this opportunity to speak words of comfort to the heart that come from the heart of Jesus himself. You're like, oh, they're just words, but they are important words. We have an opportunity to pray with those people who are hurting and who are sick and have lost loved ones and will lose loved ones. We have the opportunity to serve those around us. You have a neighbor whose family is going through their family. And while they may not be at that age where they're going to die, they can't get out. So what do? Go buy groceries for them and set it on their front porch. Cook a meal for them and leave it on their front porch. This is an opportunity for us to show the love of Christ to those around us. To show the heart of Jesus himself. We can bind the brokenhearted. We can provide food and drink. We can meet the needs of those around us. In an atmosphere of unconditional love that's marked with adoration and worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can change the talk of fear and doubt with the talk of trust in the only one we can truly trust, and that's Jesus Christ. So I challenge you. Yes. Things are going to change. We're not, you know, we may not meet here again for a while. I don't know. But I trust Jesus. And he already knows. We will be communicating with you. I will do my best to communicate all I can with you. But what I find out, what we decide to do. Don't be fearful. But also, don't be foolish. Don't lick doorknobs. I keep saying that, but they're, yeah. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Be smart. As I sent an email out this week, be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. And even if we don't close and we still meet, there are some changes that are going to happen, and we'll fill you in on those. You may have noticed some of them already, but even more are going to occur as the virus becomes more proliferant. By the way, it is in Wells County now. But most of all, pray. Seek God's face. He is the only one who will get us through this. He's the only one we can trust. Pray. Earnestly pray. I'm going to ask that you stand as we close. Please, if you have any questions, email me, text me. I'd be more than happy to answer what I do know is going on and what's going to happen. But we need to be praying. So I'm going to ask for just a few minutes here. I'm going to ask that, you know, normally I'd say, hey, get into groups of three or four, but then you'd be within 6 feet of each other. But I want you, right where you're standing, I want you to bow your head. And I want to spend a little time in prayer individually. I want you to pray for our nation. We are being tested. Pray for our leaders. Pray for the president. Pray for the vice president. Pray for the medical, our surgeon general. Pray for those at the CDC, the National Institutes of Health. Pray for our world leaders. Pray that they make the right decisions for the people, not for their own benefit. Pray for the leaders of our community as the virus affects us locally. Pray for our families. Pray for each other. That we would be strong, not fearful. Not to fear this. There's nothing to fear. There's no reason to get hysterical. Because we have God. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. He has overcome COVID-19. It's not a problem. Put your trust in Him. Let's just take a few minutes and pray, and then I'll close. Father, we come to You broken. A broken people. Broken by our pride and our false sense of security in a world that's far from secure. We come and we stand before Your throne and we cast our cares at Your feet. Lord, we know that none of this surprises You. And we know You're still on Your throne. And You still love us dearly. Lord, help us in the days moving forward. Help us to not have fear. Not to be anxious, but to be bold in proclaiming where our trust is. To be bold in helping those around us. Be bold in our prayers. Help us to seek Your face moment by moment. And if this crisis affects us, if it affects our immediate family, Lord, help us to be strong. And that no matter what, Your will would be done. Help us to be faithful. To be humble. Our world's going to be a different place. No more safe. No more secure. But it will be a different place. But Lord, we can rest in the fact that You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us to realize that. Lord, we pray for our leaders. We pray for President Trump. We pray for Vice President Pence as they lead us. Help them to look past the partisanship, Father, of our nation. Help them to ignore this sniping that's going to come from either side. And help them to do the right thing. To do the godly thing. Help them to make the right decisions, the decisions You want them to make. We pray for our Surgeon General and we pray, Lord, for all the people in our medical field. Lord, I pray that You protect them. They're at the forefront. They're the ones who are going to be exposed to so much of this. And there are also going to be times, Father, that they're going to feel so crushed because they're seeing people die. And that's going to break their hearts. And their spirits are going to be so hurt. And I pray, Father, that You would put Your arm around them and hold them up. And Lord, I pray for our families. I pray for strength in our families.
I pray, Lord, that this crisis will make us stronger. Help us to cherish every moment we have with each other. Lord, you weep with those who weep. You mourn with those who mourn. But you also comfort us. Bring us comfort. In the days ahead, we're going to need it. We thank you for all that you're doing and you're going to do. May your name always be glorified and praised, no matter what the crisis. Shine through us, Father. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.